Throughout the 50 days of Easter, sacred music for the world. LutheranPublicRadio.org. Listen 24/7 to sacred music for the Easter season. LPR, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
St. James Church has become a beacon of violence and controversy. And it has no place on Hadley University campus.
How you doing?
I'm okay.
It's kind of weird. Somebody burns your church down, but you're okay.
How do we actually know that our values are any more valid than anyone else's?
I don't understand, Lord.
Seems like you're the one much is being asked of this time.
This was my father's church, and it's not for sale.
We cannot respond to hate with more hate.
You don't get to play innocent. You did this.
What you're doing, it's against the law.
It's okay to be broken, Dave. It means God's still shaping you.
The whole world knows what the church is against, but it's getting harder and harder to know what it's for.
What am I doing wrong?
That is the trailer for the latest God's Not Dead movie, A Light in the Darkness is its subtitle. What makes it different from the previous two God's Not Dead movies? Pastor Dick Geese joins us on this Tuesday, April the 10th. He has a bachelor's degree in fine arts. He's pastor of Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada. And he taught a course for Concordia Lutheran Seminary titled Christianity and the Movies, A Lutheran Approach to Media Consumption. Ted, welcome back to Issues, Etc.
Thanks, Todd.
This is the third of three movies by the same name, God's Not Dead. How is this third one different from the previous two?
Can I answer that by asking you a question?
Yes.
All right. Do you like soap operas?
Well, I guess it depends. Some have classified The Walking Dead as a soap opera. For adults, but the typical soap operas, no.
Okay. So, but there are different, like you were saying, qualities of soap operas. So, you know, like Days of Our Lives or something like that would be...
Sure.
A soap opera, right? Like, and then you have like Dynasty or something like that, or maybe even people would say Twin Peaks is like a soap opera, those kind of things, or The Walking Dead. But generally... soap operas are what? They're just super melodramatic. So if you don't like soap operas, then this movie is not for you, right? Like that's going to be the thing, because this is the kind of genre that it's in. Now, to get back to the initial question, how is it different from the previous ones? It's a little less soap opera-y in some ways, and still pretty soap opera-y in other ways. So it's still a soap opera. It's just more trending, leaning towards the drama side of things, but it's still pretty much a soap opera. So it's getting better, but it's not quite there yet. And better to be qualified by, you know, like lots of people like drama, fewer people maybe like soap operas, or at least if you know that you like soap operas, then you may enjoy this movie more than someone who doesn't.
What's the franchise about?
Well, it started out as a kind of an apologetics franchise. There's the famous quote from Nietzsche, you know, God is dead and we have killed him. And it showed up as a cover on Time magazine, famously. So the whole thing, the first film focused on a student in university confronting an atheist professor, played by Kevin Sorbo, and really focusing on apologetics surrounding evolution, creation, and, you know, whether or not God exists or not. And that was the first film. The second one was about a school teacher, and that was a school teacher who got reprimanded for mentioning Jesus in the classroom when confronted by a student's question, and she had a choice of not mentioning Jesus or mentioning Jesus, and she chose to mention Jesus. Now, this third one is about a university campus on which this St. James Church is situated. And in all three of these movies, there has been a character of this Pastor David Hill, played by David A.R. White. And he comes to the forefront in this film. This is more his film. He was kind of a bit part actor character along the way in the previous two films, and now this one centers around him and the university wanting to annex by eminent domain, take over the land that the church is on and put a students' union in instead. And of course, the kicker is that the university was originally started as a college by the congregation and has now become a state university. And then the question is, should there be a Christian church on a state university campus? And there's an arson and other things. And again, this is where it starts getting soap opera-y. And maybe as I'm mentioning all of these things, even people are going to think to themselves, well, these are pretty serious topics. Like, I don't know how they fit with the idea of melodrama and soap opera, but this is the way in which they're trying to tell these stories.
Pastor Ted Geese is our guest. We're reviewing the movie God's Not Dead, Part 3, A Light in the Darkness, on this Tuesday afternoon. He taught a course for Concordia Lutheran Seminary titled Christianity in the Movies, A Lutheran Approach to Media Consumption. When we come back, who is the target audience for this latest God's Not Dead movie?
Your lifeline to the Lutheran worldview. You're listening to Issues Etc.
The third commandment teaches us to remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. We do this when we hold God's word sacred and gladly hear and learn it. Jesus invites the weak and heavy laden to rest in him, our true rest, because his yoke is easy and his burden is light. This weekend, rest in Jesus as you hear his word and receive his gifts. If you are in Southern Illinois, you're invited to join Trinity Lutheran Church in Millstatt to rest in the grace of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Learn more at trinitymillstatt.org.
Did you know that Luther Academy has been providing continuing education for confessional Lutheran pastors and lay people worldwide for more than 20 years? Luther Academy promotes confessional Lutheran theology through conferences, scholarly exchanges, and publications like Logia, the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatic Series, and Luther Digest. Find out more about Luther Academy and sign up for their free email newsletter at lutheracademy.com. lutheracademy.com.
Children are a heritage from the Lord, but what of those who've not been given the gift of a child? The cross of barrenness affects not only childless couples, it affects the family, friends, and pastors who love and care for them. I'm Katie Schuerman, and I'm partnering with Emmanuel Press to publish the second edition of my book, He Remembers the Barren, a story about the hope and contentment found only in Christ, no matter the cross we bear. Visit emmanuelpress.us to learn more. emmanuelpress.us.
College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois offers ACT, SAT, and PSAT test prep, scholarship application classes, college and career counseling, and more. Hi, this is Lori Konski, president of College Preparation Station. We have helped our students obtain more than $7 million in tuition scholarships in 12 years. Find out more at cpsprep.com. Let us help you create a vision and find your future. The College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois, cpsprep.com.
Well, Saturday night at 8 o'clock, I know where I'm gonna go. I'm gonna pick my baby up and take her to the picture show.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Pastor Ted Geese is our guest on this Tuesday. We are reviewing the movie God's Not Dead 3, A Light in the Darkness. So, Ted, I guess I shouldn't assume that the target audience is Christians. Who do you think the target audience of this latest God's Not Dead film is?
It seems as though at the beginning, in the first films, it was kind of like, this is for everyone. But I think that in a way that was kind of a conceit. I think the whole time was really just, to use that little phrase, preaching to the choir. I think that's what it was about. I think that they are starting to maybe realize that they've received enough feedback along the way that they're now kind of embracing the idea that they're preaching to the choir, because there's a big shift in what this story is about. It's not specifically about dealing with atheists as much as it is dealing with struggling, doubting Christians on a university campus and or lapsed Christians who have, in all outward senses, lost their faith. So this is more of an in-house kind of a conversation. So it is kind of like preaching to the choir in that particular way, and maybe is less so this sort of thing where it's a maybe some kind of a, you know, outreach tool, as it were, I think. So anyways, I think that's kind of what's going on with these.
Okay, so the story here, you said, given the, you know, given the fact that we're talking here about essentially a film version of a soap opera, very melodramatic, you gave us the basic premise of the story. Does the plot hold together? Does it have kind of a message? You said the previous ones were apologetic in their bent, so that's kind of the message being conveyed there. What's the message of this one?
Well, the previous film, God's Not Dead 2, set up a storyline that it looked like this one was going to take up. So the way that it ended, and listeners will remember, even on Issues Etc., we talked about this. I didn't, but Todd, you talked to people about this, that there was this thing that happened in Texas where one of the city councils had asked for the sermons from local pastors. And that was something that got set up at the end of the previous film. So it looked like that was going to be the focus of this film. Like that seemed to be the where it was going, that it was going to be about this Pastor Hill and him being thrown in jail because he wouldn't give over his sermons to be looked at. But this time we've, of course, moved away now from that, because the previous director of the last two films, Harold Cronk, is now being replaced by a completely different director, Michael Mason. So basically that storyline that was set up at the end of the last film, God's Not Dead 2, is resolved in about 2 minutes. Like in the first 5 minutes, that is resolved. He is in prison. He gets out of prison. It kind of is used as a germinating seed to plant this kind of idea of dissent on the university campus, where you have some students who are protesting against the church and the pastor. And of course, the administration takes it as an opportunity to say, well, maybe we can get these guys off of the campus altogether and get that land. And that's part of the story. And then, of course, because it's a soap opera and there's a melodrama connected to all of it, there's a fire that was accidentally set, and in it his friend died, who was a friend of his from the previous two movies, who was a African missionary who had now become the co-pastor of the church. And he dies, and now Pastor Hill is dealing with the death of his friend, the arson of his church building, betrayal from the administration of the university, and a love interest and some other things too. But that's kind of how it all kind of gets going. So they set something up and they didn't really go there with that. They went to a different place and just used it as a springboard to get where they're going with this.
You said that in the film, this congregation, the kind of center of the controversy, seems to be a church without a congregation. What do you mean by that?
Yeah, this is a funny thing. I mean, like, you can only have so much. So if this was a legit soap opera on television, maybe you could have a bunch of additional characters, and you could have, you know, storylines that go over years, and you have all sorts of time to get into this kind of stuff. But when you add in characters, you're just going to like fill up extra time on the screen. But, you know, like there's a church council meeting at one point that kind of gets glossed over quickly and is gone. You don't really have a lot of contact for the character of David Hill with members of the congregation very much. There's kind of one girl in that's sort of kind of connected to the congregation, and her name is Keaton, and she's played by this Samantha Broscaroni. At any rate, there's a little bit of connection with her because her boyfriend is the arsonist, the accidental arsonist. But overall, the kinds of things that people would experience in a congregation is just kind of not there. So, for instance, you know, I'm a Lutheran pastor, you are too. With a call to a congregation, you know, you could have something going on like your church building having burnt down. And then on top of that, somebody ends up in the hospital, or you have to do a funeral, or there's somebody who's going through a marital crisis or some other kinds of stuff going on. Or maybe even just members of the congregation might reach out to you and say, you know, boy, things are going really bad. Here's a casserole, or here, you know, like, would you like us to, you know, take care of some things for you, et cetera, et cetera. And there's another congregation that says all of your members can come here while, you know, this is all getting sorted out. But that's kind of it. I mean, you do see like the church is full at the beginning for an announcement, but they're there just to be window dressing for the announcement. And after that, they're just not part of the story. So that I think is a little unusual in terms of if you're preaching to the choir and the choir are people who go to church, then they're not going to see their experience of going to church on the screen, unless, of course, they only go on Sundays and are never around. Anyways, I digress. But that's kind of what I was at one point was thinking about as I was watching the film.
How about the character development, or usually we would say the character arc of the main characters? What do you see there?
Well, the central character of Pastor Hill, he ends up in a pretty dark place because of all the things that are going on. And really, the part of helping him through the character development is the character of his brother, a lawyer who is a lapsed Christian, who while going through university studying law, kind of struggled with his faith and didn't get the help that he needed or he thought that he needed from his folks or from his brother. Their dad was a pastor and now his brother's a pastor. And at one point, this character is played by John Corbett, who lots of people like. He's actually pretty good. He was in that My Big Fat Greek Wedding and, you know, Northern Exposure and a bunch of other shows and movies along the way, and actually has been in a lot of Christian films as of late. But he gets asked, you know, like by Pastor Hill, why are you helping me with this? You don't believe in any of this anyways. And he has a good response. He says, you know, like, I don't like people, you know, you're my brother, I love you, I don't want people pushing you around. So there's this kind of thing going on where in the midst of all of this, Pastor Hill is also having to deal with his own family, like particularly his brother and his brother's faith in the midst of his own personal faith crisis. And that kind of helps along the way move him from a place of maybe undue pride in the church building and the legacy of his family in the church to a place of more humility along the way. But ironically, at the same time, there's this other thing going on where at the very beginning of the film, when questioned about what truth is by a reporter or something as he was being let out of jail, he says, truth is a person and that person is Jesus Christ, which is a very strong and good place to stand on. And that is the confession of faith you want to have coming from your pastor. But then by the end of the film, where you want to see that again bookended at the end of the film, it does not come across that way at the end. So while he's, you know, gaining humility, as it were, he seems also to be losing religious conviction in that particular sense of having it standing on Christ Jesus specifically.
What are some of the positive aspects of this movie?
Well, you do get a lot of scripture being quoted, and sometimes it's not even being poorly quoted. Sometimes it's being quoted well, or at least it's being quoted in a way that is applicable to the situation. So as I was mentioning earlier, the character of Keaton, when she's struggling with her own faith and the faith of her boyfriend, who is the accidental arsonist at the church, she ends up talking with the youth pastor from the congregation, and the youth pastor is actually the actor who played and the character who was in the first film, who was standing off against his atheist university professor. Now he's the youth pastor at this St. James Church. But she's talking with him, and she's really upset by the fact that Pastor Hill is doing so poorly, even publicly, with his faith. And she says, this is having an impact on my faith. And what happens is that he actually turns around and quotes scripture, talks to her about John the Baptizer and him being in prison and sending disciples to of his own, his followers, to talk to Jesus about, you know, are you really the Christ? So pointing to another scriptural person, a personage who had a time of doubt as well. So that's kind of a good thing. There's a pastor also that is a bit of a confidant of Pastor Hills, and the black pastor in question, there's a couple snippets of his sermons, and they're pretty good actually. So there's some spots where there's some quotations from scripture in there that are actually not bad. So that's a good thing, you know, like that's a positive thing. I think another positive thing in general in the film is just that it doesn't really have these, one of the problems in previous films was, in this series, was these two-dimensional flat straw man characters, like these atheists that were not actual real characters that you could identify with if you were an atheist, or understand even if you were a Christian looking at them. Those are, for the most part, all gone. So what you get in place of that is characters like the brother of Pastor Hill, played by John Corbett, which are a lot more rounded out and filled out as characters. So you're getting a better mix of actual characters in this particular film. And again, that's in part due to the fact that this Michael Mason is both the director and the writer of the film, and is new to this franchise and is doing something different with it.
Pastor Ted Geese is our guest. We're reviewing the movie God's Not Dead 3, A Light in the Darkness. When we come back, he says it's better than the previous two, but that doesn't mean it's a good film. Stay tuned.
Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. This glorious good news is and always has been too good not to share. It compelled Peter, Paul, and the other apostles to the very ends of the earth, and it continues to drive Lutheran Church Missouri Synod missionaries even today. Learn more here in the April issue of The Lutheran Witness magazine. Subscribe today at cph.org/witness. The Lutheran Witness, interpreting the contemporary world from a Lutheran Christian perspective.
Memoria Press now offers 6 levels of the Simply Classical curriculum for students with special needs. These full-year curriculum packages for children with learning challenges enable you to teach reading, writing, arithmetic, art, poetry, science, history, Latin, literature, and Christian studies with incremental classical methods. Visit classicalspecialneeds.com and enter promo code LPR17 to save on resources for your home or school.
Where Christianity meets culture, you're listening to Issues, Etc.
Athanasius, Bishop of Alexandria in the 4th century, was known for boldly confessing Jesus Christ as both true God and true man. This is what we do at St. Athanasius Lutheran Church in Vienna, Virginia, just outside Washington, D.C., continuing this historic confession of our Savior, who died for us and now comes to us in word and sacrament. If you live in the D.C. area or just visiting, come join us. For more information, find us on the web, St. Athanasius Lutheran Church.
LCMS Rural and Small Town Mission exists to support and encourage congregations in rural and small town settings. In partnership with LCMS districts, RSTM is uniquely positioned to make a major impact in revitalization support, community engagement and outreach training, congregational partnership development, and worker support through providing and developing resources geared specifically to rural and small town congregations. Check us out at lcms.org/RSTM or give us a call at our office. We're here to help.
Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're reviewing the movie God's Not Dead 3, A Light in the Darkness. Pastor Ted Geese is our guest. He taught a course for Concordia Lutheran Seminary titled Christianity in the Movies, A Lutheran Approach to Media Consumption. You have less than 30 days to receive a discount for lodging at the three area hotels for the 2018 Issues, Etc. Making the Case conference that's going to be held Friday, June 8th and Saturday, June 9th in Collinsville, Illinois. Attendance for the conference is limited to 400. We are about 60% full. That means register soon. Registration is $120. That includes three meals on Friday night and Saturday afternoon and evening. Child care for children ages 1 through 12 is free thanks to the Lutheran Church Extension Fund. Find out more and register at issuesetc.org or call 618-223-8385. The premier conference for Christian laity, the Issues Etc. Making the Case conference, June 8th and 9th, about 15 miles east of St. Louis in Collinsville, Illinois. Ted, you say that this latest of the God's Not Dead movies is better than the previous two, but that doesn't mean it's a good film. What do you mean?
Yeah, again, this gets us back to the beginning of our conversation. I guess what I'm discovering is I really don't like soap operas that much. I'm not a fan personally of melodramas, so I don't look at it and think that it's a good movie. What I would consider a good movie in terms of drama, it's not meeting the bar on those things. But that doesn't mean that there won't be people who will go and enjoy it. I think that if there are people that go and enjoy it, I think they just really need to ask themselves about some of the hard questions that don't always get brought up because it's a melodrama. Or they set up hard questions, but they don't deal with them in very concrete ways, or they don't go very deeply into them because soap operas and melodramas by design are a little more superficial and they stay on the surface of things. So at the very least, if it gets people interested in some of these topics or to think about them or to talk about them, then that could be a positive thing. But qualitatively, I don't think that it's a very good movie overall.
This movie and reviewing it puts you in mind of a passage from the Gospel of Mark where the disciples approach Jesus. They're complaining about someone who's casting out demons in his name. They tried to stop him because he was not following them. And Jesus' response, how does that go? And why those thoughts?
Well, Jesus says, do not stop him because somebody was casting out demons in his name. For no one who does a mighty work in my name will be able soon afterward to speak evil of me. For the one who is not against us is for us. So one of the things dealing with apologetics in general was, and I noted this in a previous film, actually last time we talked about this with God's Not Dead 2, was that St. Peter talks about, you know, being ready to make a defense for the faith that is in you, but doing so with gentleness and respect. And the gentleness and respect was the part that they weren't doing very well in the previous two films when it came to atheists. So when it comes to critiquing or thinking about this film in general or this franchise as a whole, you know, these are these Christian films, and sometimes these Christian films just are not of the same quality and caliber of other films that are out there in terms of the technical end of things. But the thing to remember is that here they are doing this thing in the name of Christ. So let's hope that I think this is evidence that they are listening to the criticisms and encouragements that they've been getting along the way, because this is different from previous outings. It's moving in a good direction. So let's hope that as they continue, if they continue this franchise, let's hope as they continue it, that they take that seriously and make sure that they do actually build this on Christ and don't make these films for other reasons, for profit or for any other reason apart from Christ himself. The people who helped put this movie together also helped put together the movie The Case for Christ, which came out in 2017, which we talked about as well. And that movie, again, was a better film than some of these other films that have come out. So right now, actually, in the theaters, there are three films. And I haven't seen I Can Only Imagine yet, but Paul, Apostle of Christ, which was the movie we just previously talked about, and now this one, they're all in the theaters right now, and some of these movies are doing a little better than people think. And they're also making money, which is a good thing. So we'll probably continue to get some of these Christian films. It's just the case of, why are they doing it? Are they just doing it for the money? Or, you know, maybe Sony Pictures is just doing it for the money. But are these people just doing it for the money? And are they going to make a movie that stands on Christ and has conviction in Christ and doesn't try to present Christ in a funny way? Because at one point in this movie, they even talk about Jesus as the ultimate social justice warrior. Now, that might appeal to some people, but I think that there's a way in which making that analogy does not appeal to all viewers who would go to see this film as Christians. So these are some things they got to keep working on sorting out as they go forward with these films.
Can you explain one thing to me before we let you go?
Sure.
From your perspective, you've either watched or had to watch a lot of these films that are coming from a Christian perspective, or they are trying to convey some kind of a Christian message. It used to be that these attempts were suffered from just bad production value. There was not enough money to make the movie, to get stars to do it, things like that. But there's still a little bit of that hanging on here in the fact that you're talking about this being kind of a soap opera film. Why does that lack of, I would see it kind of a lack of concern for good quality, excellent quality, why does that seem to continue to pervade Christian film or film that's aimed at a Christian audience?
I think that this modern crop of films, like we've talked about before, the reason that these are here at all is because of The Passion of the Christ. Like, that movie came out of nowhere, as it were, and made a whole pile of money. And it was the kind of money that they hadn't seen in Hollywood connected to these kind of movies for a long time. Where, like, I think the last time that they would seen money like that would be things like The Ten Commandments, right? Or The Robe or something like that from the past. So when that happened, people got interested. The trouble is that it's in this little genre, and Christian film shouldn't be a genre, right? So they're kind of ghettoized over here by themselves in this little area. So you'll have a company like Sony Pictures that has like a subsidiary company, Affirm Films, that does some of these films. But it's not like the big Sony money, it's the little Sony money. So you've got that going on. So I think that, you know, and we've watched, like you've said, I've watched a lot of these and we've talked about them. So if you go back, you can find like a movie like Silence by Martin Scorsese. Well, that's a profoundly Christian film based on a Christian novel by a Japanese Roman Catholic novelist. And that's decidedly not in the category of melodrama. That is a drama, like completely a drama. Even this Paul Apostle of Christ film, that's a drama and not really a melodrama either. Like if there's melodrama in it, it's on the fringe end of melodrama and really deeply ensconced in actual drama. So I think that sometimes what the reason why it seems like they're still kind of, I don't know, spinning their wheels is because of this ghettoization of Christian films as a kind of a subgenre or a genre of their own tucked away over here. But as these films continue to make money, then studios will be interested in putting more money into them. And as they put more money into them, that will increase the quality of the films. But then that opens up this whole other area of temptation where they may think, oh, now we have a bigger audience, so now we have to play to that bigger audience. And then as a result, they may have the temptation to lose conviction. So you want to still have the same sort of like solid conviction that a deeply flawed person like Mel Gibson might have and still carry on and go forward with a film that may be stronger, like a film like The Passion of the Christ, as compared to a film like this.
You can read Pastor Ted Geese's review of God's Not Dead, A Light in the Darkness, at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Pastor Ted Geese has a bachelor's degree in fine arts. He's pastor of Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada. And he taught a course for Concordia Lutheran Seminary titled Christianity in the Movies, A Lutheran Approach to Media Consumption. Ted, thanks.
Thank you.
If you are a woman over the age of, say, 25, you have had a book recommended to you, you've had a conversation with someone, or you've sat in on a Bible class about the Proverbs 31 woman. Now, I'm not saying everything you heard there was wrong. There's some really good advice in some of those things, but that's not the whole story. The whole story includes not just a picture of a woman, but also a picture of Christ, his church, and the believer as he is and she is in Christ. That's the point of the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for April, Demystifying the Proverbs 31 Woman by Deaconess Elizabeth Allman. You can order this book at our website, issuesetc.org. It's on every page there. You can also call Concordia Publishing House any weekday during regular business hours. Ask for Demystifying the Proverbs 31 Woman, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for April. When we come back, we're going to talk about piety versus pietism, two things that are regularly confused nowadays. Dr. Russell Don of Concordia University, Irvine, California, will be our guest.
People have confused pietism with piety and dumped piety along with dumping pietism. It's resulted in a real confusion about this.
Pastor Will Wheaton, on his presentation at the 2018 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, making the case for godliness.
Any thought about dealing with how we actually live our lives is regarded as being, that's law. That's what we've been freed from. We don't have to think about that. Well, no. The whole point is, what does it look like to live with Jesus Christ having been crucified and raised from the dead?
You can meet and hear Pastor Wheaton Friday, June 8th and Saturday, June 9th at the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference in Collinsville, Illinois. Collinsville is 15 miles east of St. Louis. For more information, just look for the Making the Case logo at our homepage, issuesetc.org, or call 618-223-8385.
An average of 20 military veterans kill themselves every day. Project Operation Barnabas is a network of LCMS congregations who reach out to veterans and their congregations and their communities with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Operation Barnabas is a program of LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces. Find out more at lcms.org/armedforces. Serving those who serve. LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces. lcms.org/armedforces.
Are you tired of working out at big box gyms? You'll find quality personal training and qualified instruction at Performance Fitness in Edwardsville. You can even work out for a full 30 days before making a commitment to join. Find out more at performancefitness618.com or call 618-692-5063. Performance Fitness is the facility in the St. Louis Metro East where the focus is on member results, not membership numbers. Performancefitness618.com.
Education and edification. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Augsburg Lutheran, Shawnee, Kansas. Peace Lutheran, Fresno, California. Trinity Lutheran, Casper, Wyoming. Memorial Lutheran, Houston, Texas. Trinity Lutheran, Gillette, Wyoming. Our Savior Lutheran, Ridgecrest, California. St. Mary's Lutheran, Des Moines, Iowa. Redeemer Lutheran, Caca-Beca Falls, Ontario, Canada. St. Jacoby Lutheran, Shawano, Wisconsin. And St. John's Lutheran, North Prairie, Wisconsin. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. Issuesetc.org, click support, the Issues Etc. 300.